So what happened
was, there was one sage, his name was Pulastya Muni, Pulastya. And he had a nice ashram, but he had no mountain. He wanted a mountain for his ashram. So he went to the Himalayas, and he saw one big mountain, Dronachal, but it was too big. But then he saw the sun, a baby mountain, and that was Govardhan. So he asked the father, "Can I have your son?" And so the father was crying and saying, "Oh, please don't take my son." But then he said, if you don't give me your son, I'll curse you." So he said, "Okay." So Govardhan went with Pulastya Muni. He was so strong and had such mystic power, he could carry Govardhan in one hand, just like Hanuman. So then he was going, but Govardhan said, "If you put me down any place, I won't go for any further." So this Pulastya was going, and then one time when he got to Braj, where is Vrindavan and all these places, he felt, "Oh, I really have to go to the bathroom. I have to pass." So then he had to put Govardhan down, and he went to pass, and he came back, and he tried to move, but Govardhan wouldn't move, because he said, "I told you, if you put me down, that's it." And actually Govardhan arranged it, because he wanted to stay in Braj. He wanted to be there for Krishna's pastimes. So he made the sage feel like going to the bathroom. So then he stayed, so now Govardhan stayed there. But the sage was very angry. He knew it. Govardhan, Giriraj did that. So then he said, "Okay, you don't want to move, so I will curse you that every day you will get smaller by the size of one mustard seed, this much." So every day Govardhan is going down, 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 down. Even I saw Govardhan 30 years ago, and much is all, you can see the difference already. 30, 35 years, he's gone so much smaller down. So before, he was 115 kilometers long, 72 kilometers wide, and 29 kilometers high. So very, very big Govardhan was. And now just imagine how long it would take you to do Govardhan Parikrama around that big, big mountain. It would take days, I think, to go around. Now it takes like 4 hours, 5 hours. 4 hours if you run, 4 or 5 hours if you run. And if you walk, maybe 6, 7, 8 hours to go around, 22 kilometers around Govardhan. And it said that when you go around Govardhan, then Govardhan is so happy with you, he follows behind you just to fulfill your desires. Any desire you have, then Govardhan Giriraj will give you that desire. So there's another story here, which I never knew actually. This is a new story to me about how he came to Braj. The monkey army of Lord Ram was carrying big, big mountains and stones to make this bridge across Lanka. So, and this was in Treta Yuga, and Hanuman was carrying Govardhan from the Himalayas to help make the bridge. And even now, I saw on the internet, there is a, what do you call that thing up in the sky, that helps for the cell phones, you know, but anyway, satellite, yeah. From the satellite, there was a satellite picture at Sri Lanka, and you could see the bridge under the water from the satellite photo. You can see this bridge underneath the water. Yeah, from Lanka. So it was made of big, big mountain peaks and mountains. So Hanuman wanted to put Govardhan in the ocean, which wouldn't have been very good for Krishna Lila. So what happened, it was the fifth day of the construction of the bridge. So Hanuman was carrying Govardhan over Braj. And then he got the news from Nala and Nila, who were in charge of building the bridge, that it's okay, the bridge is finished, we don't need any more mountains. So Hanuman just left Govardhan in Braj. But then Govardhan was crying, he said, "Oh, now I'm away from my father and Lord Shiva, who in the Himalayas, and I won't also be able to serve Lord Ram. I can't help him build the bridge. So I cannot see Ram. Then Ram heard Govardhan was crying. So he said, no, don't worry. When I come in the next Yuga, Dwarapa Yuga, as Krishna, I'll hold you up for 7 days. And I'll play on you, and I'll bring my cowherd boys and my cows and Radharani and the gopis, and we'll all have so much fun on your mountain. So Giriraj, he is Krishna himself. He's two, actually. He's Krishna. He's also the best servant of Krishna. Because as a servant, do you know how Govardhan serves Krishna? Anybody knows? How does he serve? He gives, yes? Oh, you know. Yeah, he gives fruits. Grass for the cows. Yes. So he serves the cows. He serves the cowherd boys by giving nice fruits. And also he has nice caves where they can go inside when it's raining. And waterfalls. Now we don't see the waterfalls because most of it is covered. But he has nice waterfalls where you can get nice fresh water. And at Govardhan we have our one palace, ISKCON Palace. It's just very close to Govardhan, just a few meters, maybe 10-15 meters. And the property is about, I'd say, 15 meters big, long. So one time they were trying to drill a well on this property. So in the front of the property, they couldn't drill because the stone, the hill was right there. But then when they went to the back of the property, they saw that actually it went 100 feet down. It went 100 feet down, and that shows that the mountain was going like this underneath the property. That the mountain was there. And in the front part, it was up here, and the back part, it was down here. So far down. So it was a very steep peak there. So just by drilling the water, they could see how actually Govardhan was there. In the front, it was like all the stone, maybe 10 feet down. And then in the back, 100 feet down, was the stone of Govardhan. So if you go there today, you can see, you can do parikrama, and you see so many temples and peacocks and monkeys. Watch out for the monkeys. They're not, actually in Govardhan, they're not too bad. They don't attack. In Vrindavan, they attack. Especially if he's wearing glasses. So they like to take the glasses and trade for bananas. Because they know everybody wants their glasses. And so they know they can get something good. Sometimes even for cameras they trade. Or cell phones. But they're trained up by the bridge bosses to get cameras and cell phones. They would want bananas, you know, themselves. And sweets. Bananas, sweets, fruits. That the monkeys like that. So this is the story of Govardhan. Then I can tell you another story about what she was saying, how I met Prabhupada, and little few stories about Prabhupada and myself. Before I met Prabhupada, I was living in Boston, in America, and I was a musician. I was playing cello, which is a classical instrument, a very big one, like this, and you play like this. So my husband and I, we were musicians, we were living there, I was especially searching for a guru. So I tried so many gurus before I found ISKCON. I went to one guru and he said, you have to stand on your head and you have to go like this and you have to touch your toes. And you have to do all these things, and after doing this for some 5-10 years, you can meditate. And after you meditate, then you can get liberation. But I said, this is going to take a long time. I don't think I can do this. So then I looked for another guru, and he said, no, you don't have to do all these things. You just have to meditate, close your eyes. I'll give you a mantra. Of course, you have to pay for the mantra, some money. And then I'll give you a secret mantra. Don't tell anyone, because otherwise, how can he charge the money if everybody tells? Then he won't get money for the mantra. So he, yes, you have to pay the money. You get the secret mantra, and if it's not a secret, then nobody will want to pay him the money. So he says, okay, in 10 minutes morning, 10 minutes night, you say this mantra. And after 6 months, you will become God. I said, oh, well, that sounds interesting. It sounds like a better life than what I have now. If I could be God, that would be quite nice. I could control everything. If I want to make the sun rise, I could just say, up. And if I want to make the sun set, I could say, down. Imagine if everybody was God. What would happen to this world? They could say, okay, now it's nighttime for me. Actually, some people, they like to be awake at night and sleep in the day. So, you know, it's quite disturbing if the sun is coming in the day and you want to sleep. Then they can say, okay, time for setting. I want to sleep. So I said, yeah, this could be quite nice if I became God, you know. Solve a lot of my problems. So I said, okay, let me try. And so I went to the class, and I saw, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm meditating, but then some of the people are starting to snore very loudly. So this is disturbing my meditation. So, and anyway, if it, meditation means sleeping, I can just go to sleep at nighttime and do that. Why I have to pay so much money and meditate? You know? So, yeah, I just go to sleep at night. I do that every night. What's the benefit of that? So, no. So then I started to think, maybe, okay, let me try anyway. Let me just try. So 10 minutes morning, 10 minutes night, I'm meditating. And after a few months go by, and I'm still not God, and I'm not even liberated yet. They said, sure, you'll get liberation, at least liberation. So then you will see the white light, and of course, after that, I don't know what happens. You can learn how to levitate, you know, like go up in the air. I thought, well, I'd like to do that too. That sounds, you know, I could save airplane fare, you know, if I knew how to fly, you know, different places. That would be very good. But what happened was after 6 months, I was just the same old person with the same bad habits. And because we didn't have to change anything, we just had to morning, night, sit and meditate. So I said, oh, this is not working. This is not working. So then I went to the ISKCON temple, and they told, I said, what is your process now? What I have to do? They said, okay, you have to chant Hare Krishna, you have to dance, and you have to eat prasad. I said, oh, this sounds like a lot much more fun than the meditation. And so I tried that, and actually it was very nice. And after, I found that I couldn't get the mantra out of my head. It was always in my head. I was all chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I said, what kind of mantra they gave me? It doesn't go away. But then I started to read the books, Bhagavad Gita. I thought, well, this is a very nice book. It agrees with my philosophy. I have a very good philosophy, and this book is just like my philosophy. I should read this book. So then what happened, I was going to temple, my husband was not interested so much, so I didn't think, okay, I can just full-time leave my husband and go into the temple. But then about 5 months after I met the devotees, then the devotees told me, hey, you want to stay in the temple because Prabhupada is coming. He's going to come and visit. So I said, oh yes, okay, I want to meet Prabhupada. So I went there overnight, and what they do in all the temples before Prabhupada will come, they have to paint everything, all the walls, make it new for him. So whole night we were up painting the walls ourselves. We didn't have mysteries. We just, all the devotees were painting everything. And then it came the time for Prabhupada to come. And got up in the morning, I was thinking, oh good, Prabhupada's coming. But then we got a phone call, oh, Prabhupada can't come, but he's sending four sannyasis instead. I said, okay, anyway, I'll just stay for a couple of days and see how it is. Stay for the weekend for these sannyasis. And one sannyasi was really good in kirtan, and he would take us out in the street all day long. And very, very nice. And then after 2 days, I thought, this is really nice. I'm so happy here. Why should I go home? And so then I said, okay, I went and said goodbye to my husband, and I came back and stayed in the temple. But then 2 months later, my husband also came because he had the hippie philosophy. Nipri philosophy means I won't work. And I was working. I became devotee. He said, I won't work, so how he's going to eat? Nobody's working. So he had to be devotee also. 2 months later, he also came. And he became devotee. In that time, they had no devotees outside. Everybody had to stay in the temple, even the married people. Everybody was inside the temple together. 65 people in the Boston temple. And the rooms were very austere. It was like, our room was like maybe from here to that window. It was a closet, actually. It wasn't a room. And they cut a hole. It was up near the top. So the roof was there. They cut a hole so we get some air. And snow would be coming in you know what is snow? Yeah, it's like ice, but soft, very soft. And it was coming in on our, well, we were sleeping and snow was coming, you know, but we did thought, oh, okay, never mind. This we will do for Krishna. So what the story means is that Prabhupada was so powerful, he didn't even come. All he did was say, tell us he's coming. And because he told us he's coming, then not myself and 3-4 other people, they joined the temple that weekend and they never left. Just because Prabhupada said, I am coming. We didn't even meet him. Only he said, I am coming. So just by that power of that he's saying, I will come, we all became devotees. Because I wasn't ready. My husband was not ready to join. But somehow Prabhupada pushed me in the temple, just like that. So that was my first experience. And later on, I actually met him. It was very funny because we went to the airport. Inside the airport, in those days, there was not such a heavy security. So we could go all the way up inside to where they come off the airplane. And also when they leave, we could go and sit in the departure lounge. There was no like security check, I don't think, in those days. So the devotees thought, well, Prabhupada can't sit on the airplane seat. So he has to have a Vyasasana. So the Vyasasana was like this big and that wide. And 4 or 5 brahmacharis were struggling carrying the Vyasasana all the way through the airport to meet Prabhupada. And they put it down in the arrival place. And then Prabhupada had to come and sit on this big Vyasasana. And they had to carry it all the way back. But when I first saw Prabhupada and met him, I felt very, very secure. Like, oh, I was following behind him, and I felt like I can follow Prabhupada the rest of my life. I'm feeling so safe here, just to follow him. So then later I came to India, 1972. That was ancient times, very long ago. That is in the last. I think most of you are born in 2000, and some of you in the 1990s, maybe, I don't know. 19. Who is the oldest person? Somebody is 13, 14. 14? Yeah, 14. So which year are you born? Which year?
94.
Okay, yeah, I have a stepdaughter. She's also born in 94. Oh, okay. So just see, that was a long time ago. Maybe your mother and father were born at that time, and maybe not. Maybe I'm older than your mothers and fathers. Maybe your grandmother, okay, let's go back. Maybe your grandmother was born when I came to India in 1972. Long time ago. So then I came to India, and I was living in Bombay. And there was no house or temple. The deities were in a tent like this. And when it would rain, one devotee put his raincoat up on top so then the deities wouldn't get wet. And very austere in Juhu, Bombay. And the men, they had one hut, big, big hut. And inside the hut was the kitchen and the brahmachari ashram and so many things. And prasad room, all in one little hut. And ladies, guess where the ladies were staying? Not in the hut. They were up on the top of the building, on the roof of the building. And it was the month of May. It was very hot. That's where we had our mosquito net and like our suitcase up on the roof of the building. Very hot. So it was very austere. And we had no proper drinking water. They never had Bisleri in those days. Bislary is, I think, only 20 years, or I don't know. No Bislary. So what do we drink? We had something, maybe like the pump, and they put in a clay matka, in a clay pot, and cover. But if you take off the cover, so many mosquitoes are flying out. And this we have to drink. It's a very bad water. So after 1 week, of course, you're sick with diarrhea. I got urine infection and so many things because we didn't have good water or anything like that. So after 2 weeks, they sent us to Calcutta. And Calcutta was also a little bit difficult. Rats were like this big in the temple, bigger than the cats. Cats were afraid of these rats. Very healthy rats. And but at least I was happy. I got a roof over my head. You know, I said, oh, this is really good. At least I got something, no protection from the sun, you know. And half the time they would turn off the electricity and turn, you know, no electricity and no water. The water, we had one bathroom and we had a bathtub. You know what is a bathtub? It's kind of like this. And the water tap was always on because it only ran like 1 or 2 hours per day. And whatever is inside the bathtub, that you have to use for shower and everything, for all the whole temple. So this was, but at least I had a roof over my head, so I was very happy. So then, we went to Vrindavan for Prabhupada was speaking Nectar of Devotion lectures. And after the lecture, we go to his room. And one time I was in Prabhupada's room and he said, oh, actually, I'll tell you something that happened first. Prabhupada was sitting on like this, like a little asan, and we were on the floor, and there were some bananas at Prabhupada's feet. So, you know who likes bananas? Monkeys. So one monkey ran in the room and he grabbed the bananas and he ran outside. Took all the bananas. So what Prabhupada said, he said, see how intelligent that monkey is. None of you would ever do something like that. But he said, the monkey is intelligent for eating. Only for eating. That we see. They'll come behind you very, very quietly and take your glasses off like this and then run. So you think it's a person, a human being that's, you know, taking off, but the monkey, or sometimes they'll jump on your back and take your glasses and run. And then they start chewing. They go up on the roof where you cannot get them and they go. And then you have to bargain with them with bananas or sweets. One time they took Prabhupada's shoe in Haradamadar. And he ran, and the servant was trying. And first Prabhupada took his cane, and he was shaking it, but the monkey didn't listen. And so then he told the servant, okay, bring some sweets. So the servant was trying to give the monkey the sweet, but the monkey wasn't giving the shoe. So then he tricked the servant. He got the sweet, and he kept the shoe. So that went on maybe 2 or 3 times. He gave three. He got 3 sweets, and he never got the shoe. Never gave the shoe. So then Prabhupada looked at the shoe and he said, oh, it's ruined now. He chewed, because they chew on it. Make sure you, they chew holes in the shoes or your glasses too. And then, so then the monkey dropped the shoe. And then so they sent one young boy, 10 years old. Anybody here is 10 years old? Yeah. So your age, they sent one boy your age up with a stick. No, actually, he didn't have a stick. He just went up to get the banana, but the monkey was still there. And he was shouting, help, help, there's a monkey up here. Yeah, he dropped the shoe up on the roof, not down. And so then they threw a stick to him, and then he had to fight the monkey with the stick. And then he got the shoe and brought it back to Prabhupada. So, you lost your slippers.
Yeah. Monkey,
they're both.
Yeah.
Oh, usually they just take one, but... Yeah. Yeah, yeah. New is best. And then it's fresh prasad, you know. And one time, Prabhupada, one monkey came in Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was talking to the monkey in the monkey language. How the monkey talks. He was going, and the monkey is going, kick, 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 kick. It was a lady monkey. And they were feeding this monkey every day some chapati. But it was disturbing to Prabhupada. So, but he didn't know devotees were watching him speak in the monkey language. But Jamuna was watching him. And he was going, kick-kick, and the monkey, kick-kick. So then, finally the conversation ended, and the monkey was like this. Like, you couldn't believe, eyes are big, big eyes. But how is he's talking to me in the monkey language? So then the monkey went away. And Jamuna said, what were you doing, Srila Prabhupada? And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, I just told her to go away and don't disturb us. So she never came back after that. She was coming every day for chapati, but after Prabhupada preached to her, then she didn't come back again. So Prabhupada, he knew all the languages of the monkeys and everybody. Yeah. So what happened to me, I forgot to tell you. Now, I was in Vrindavan Radha Damodar, and Prabhupada said to me, my sister says you speak Bhagavatam very nicely. And Prabhupada said that, I said, I don't understand what he's talking about because I never spoke Bhagavatam. And then I remembered, oh, I know. On Janmashtami day, I was reading Krishna book. And Prabhupada's sister was sitting and listening. And I was getting really dramatic. It was we had to read morning till night. So my turn came, and I had to read about Rasa Leela. You know Rasa Leela, when Krishna is dancing with the gopis? So then, he doesn't always dance. Then he went away and he left them. And so I was being very dramatic. Oh, Krishna is gone, the gopis are crying. And then she started crying and crying, and she doesn't know a word of English. She only knows Bengali. But she understood what was happening, and she started crying and crying that the Krishna left the gopis. So then she must have told Prabhupada, oh, she speaks Bhagavatam very nicely. So I said, okay. Then I figured it out. But what happened after that, 30 years later, guess what happened? I'm speaking Bhagavatam. So then I understood, oh, if a pure devotee says something, it must come true. So he said that, I speak Bhagavatam, so it had to come true. Now I'm speaking Bhagavatam. And now I know why, because Prabhupada said, she speaks Bhagavatam. So I speak Bhagavatam. Now it's happening. Two things happen like that. In Vrindavan, he said, you speak Bhagavatam. In Mayapur, I'll tell you what happened. I was typing for him, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And as she told you the story, I was in Calcutta, and Prabhupada's secretary came, and he says, if you want to go with Prabhupada, then you have to learn how to read Bengali. Read only, not the whole language. Just to read. Reading is difficult. It's a whole different script. So he gave me the Bengali book, and I had to learn. He says, we're leaving tomorrow. I said, no problem. I'm learning. If you want to go with Prabhupada, then you have to learn. So then I learned how to read Bengali. He gave me a Bengali book, and I learned. Because then I went to Mayapur, I was typing Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is in Bengali language. So I had this big, big book like this, maybe 4 kg book, or 3 kg book, huge book, whole Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali. And I had the big headphones, and I was sitting, and I was listening, Prabhupada was saying the Bengali, and I have to read it, and I have to listen, and then I have to type in English like that, in Roman transliteration. So Prabhupada, that time we were living in Mayapur in the Lotus building, but it was under construction, it was not finished. So we had the bathroom, but there was no water in the bathroom. And we had rooms, but the windows, there were no windows, and the doors were there, but you couldn't lock the door, it just had a hole for the handle. And there were no windows, so it was just a hole in the wall. So sometimes this huge wind would come in Vaishak month, and we would put the marble by the door so that the door would close. And it would blow open the door, and the marble would fly across the room. It was very strong wind. And the rain would come in the windows, you know, because no windows. So, and we had a room that was, we had no door in our room. But the next room had a door, but it had no floor. So we had this big, long piece of wood that goes to the door, and we had to walk on this wood to get to the door, to go out of our room. And so that was still austerity was there. And if you want to have a bath, you have to go to the pump and bring water up and throw it on you in the hallway. I mean, on the veranda, like this. So, and if, anyway, so many austerities. So Prabhupada, he would go walking on the veranda, walking back and forth. Not where I was typing, he would come, and sometimes he would look in the window and see what I'm doing. And then he saw me with his headphones and this big, huge Bengali book, and I was reading it. And he said to me, "Oh, you know Bengali?" I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." I didn't know anything, I just knew a little reading. He said, "Oh, very good, come to my room." So I went to Prabhupada's room, and he says, "So, you know Bengali, so you learn how to type in Bengali." I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, I will learn." And he said, "And we will do many books together." So then I was dreaming. I said, "Oh, I'm going to travel with Prabhupada and do many books together." Never happened. I didn't go with Prabhupada. But his words came true. After 30 years again, I started to write books. Thinking of Prabhupada, he was actually helping me, and I wrote this Bhagavatam book and this book on Bhagavad Gita, which is only in CD. I didn't print it yet. And so those words came to him also. He said, "We will do many books." So I started to write books. So these two things he said to me, which are coming true. And so after that, one Bengali brahmachari, he was teaching me to type in Bengali like this. And then I started, so then I understood, oh, I can do like in English, when you type, you don't look at the key, you just look at the paper. It's called touch typing. So you go like this and you type. So I said, "Oh, I can do this for Bengali too." So then I started doing like that with the Bengali. I said, "You know, you look here and then you don't have to look." And the brahmachari looked at me. He said, "Oh, now I understand. Prabhupada told me you teach her and you learn from her." So I was teaching him how to type without looking at the keys. So anyway, that my teaching career started long ago. Teaching. And so from that also, now I realized that my Prabhupada also wanted me to teach. And of course other things happened later that showed me that I should teach. Okay, so why don't you do something now? Do they have any questions? Or okay, kemonache? Kikopcho. I can't remember. I think more in Hindi. Kihobe. Or I'm thinking in Hindi more. I think in Hindi and translate to Bengali. When I go to Mayapur. After I stay a couple months in Mayapur, it comes back. Ami Jabo. I'm going. You know Bengali? Yeah. Ami Jabo. Apnar kemon ache. Ami korbo, ami kabo, ami kabo. Tumi ki kocho. Something I learned, you know. But I just like that, it's hard to remember. Because I'm in a Hindi speaking place, so I think more like kya karega, you know.
How many rounds should I take in this age?
How old are you? 10?
How many rounds?
You're 10 years old?
Yes, sir.
Oh, how many can you chant?
Two.
Two? Oh, that sounds good. That sounds very good. If you can chant two rounds, then that's good. And you start with two, and then what's a good thing to do is how many years you are, that many rounds. I have one friend in Ireland. He's 50. So he chants 50 rounds. He started chanting how many rounds, how many years he is. Every year he increases one. But two is good. Two is very good. And then you can see. How many are chanting two rounds? Yeah. How many are chanting six rounds? Okay, so we have work to do. Good. Six rounds.
How can chanting help you?
How can it help you? Okay. Many, many ways. When you chant, then Krishna is coming. because you're calling him. Like if you have, suppose you have a cell phone and you call somebody, and then they answer the phone. So when you chant, it's like you're on your cell phone and calling Krishna, calling Krishna, calling Krishna. And then Krishna's coming. But sometimes your mind is another place, so that means your line is busy, engaged. Your line is engaged, so Krishna can't, you can't see Krishna because the line is engaged. So chanting will make you touch Krishna. And then it will take out all the dirty things from your heart. Of course, you're so young, you don't have so many dirty things. But from the last lives, it's there. And it will come out later when you're older. From the last life, maybe you did something. So the chanting will clean everything out, all the garbage. Cleans it out. And then, you know what happens when all the garbage is cleaned out? You will see Krishna in your heart. Because he's there. He's sitting there. He's waiting for all the garbage to go out. And then he'll say, "Hi there. I'm here. Can you see me?" Just like you, there's a TV, you know. We have TV now in Bombay, I'm sure. And you have seen the TV, what it is. So did you know you have a TV in your heart also? You didn't know, yes? There is a TV there. But the station, the channel is, now it's broken. It's a little bit broken, so we have to repair that TV. How to repair the TV? You can chant Hare Krishna, that will help a lot. That will make the picture clear. But you also need the guru and you need the devotees to help you to repair your TV. And once you repair the TV, you will get the picture from Goloka Vrindavan coming in your heart, in the TV in your heart. 24 hours TV. And you won't need the other TV anymore. Because you'll see what is happening right now in Goloka every second. In the morning, Yashoda is waking up Krishna. And then he's going to milk the cows. On the way, he might meet Radharani or his friends and have some fun with them, go swimming or something. Then you'll see him eating his breakfast. And then you'll see him going with the cows. And then you'll see him swinging with Radharani in 12 o'clock meeting. All this you'll see in the TV in your heart after by chanting Hare Krishna. Just by chanting. And you have this nice TV there. But now it's just a little broken. So we just have to chant, and the more you chant, then the more clear the picture will come. It's like fine-tuning. When you tune the TV, then a very nice picture will come. And if you're a devotee of Ram, then you will see Ram Leela in your TV, in the real one, not just on the Mahabharata. You'll see the real Ram Leela going on in your heart. And you'll see the whole Mahabharata going on in your heart. Everything will be just like Sanjay. He had that. His TV was fixed. He could see the whole battlefield. And he was telling Dhritarashtra what was happening because his TV was okay. He could see the whole battle going on in Kurukshetra because his TV was fixed. So we have to fix our TV. And then you don't need this other TV anymore. And you can just sit anywhere and watch TV. Like the yogis, they see Super Soul, but they don't see the Leela of Krishna. They don't see the whole Leela. Only devotees can see that. And you can just sit anywhere and be happy and watch your TV. And you can also, now this is such a special TV. Not only you watch the TV, you go inside and be in the TV too. When you're meditating on the Leela, then at some point by chanting, you can become one of, you find out who you are. Some of you are cowherd boys, some of you are gopis, some of you may be like mothers of Krishna, some of you may be cows or monkeys, or maybe even now, some of you. Birds, parrots, you can be, whatever. And it's there in your heart. And when your TV is fixed, then you know who you are also. And it's quite amazing, just like we have a picture here. So you see this picture, Krishna with the cowherd boys. So that you see that in your heart. And then you go inside the picture and you're one of those boys. Not only you see, but you go and join it. And you sit there and it looks like you're just meditating, but actually you're there with Krishna, and you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, and you're there, and you're helping Krishna take care of the cows, and you're running through the forest, but nobody knows. They can't see your TV, only you can see. This is only by chanting Hare Krishna. Then you go to Goloka Vrindavan even before this life is finished. You can go there. So nice. Any other questions? How many of you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, back to Godhead? Oh, not everybody. Some are not so sure. That's okay. Don't worry. You will go where you want to go. How many want to go to Ayodhya? Okay, we have some Rambak this year. That's all right. Very nice. How many want to go to Dwarka and be a queen or... Oh, okay. Yes, this is Bombay. Yes, cowherd boys. I mean, it might be more fun in the palace than in the forest. And Dwarka, yes, you have all the opulence and the nice beds and the golden jewelry. Of course, in Goloka also you have all those things too. But it's actually more fun in Goloka because you can go run and play. But in Dwarka, you're more in the palace all the time. They do have gardens, though. They have nice gardens. They have nice gardens in Dwarka. You can also play. You play there, too. But it's not, it's like, yeah, you can't go away. You're like your mother and Yashoda and Nanda, they're in the village, and they go way up. It's away from their mother and father, so they can really have fun in the forest. Any other questions? How you can leave your anger? Oh, such a good question. You are a very advanced devotee. Such a young age, you want to leave your anger. Of course. So when you get angry, you should count to 10. First thing. And then you can say something nice about the person you're angry with, if it's possible. And if you can't do that, then you just start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You can think of Nrisimhadev. He's also very angry. But he's not angry only with the demons. Not with the devotees. And not with the father and mother and the children. So you can also pray to Nrisimhadev. Dear Nrisimhadev, please help me. You know how to control your anger. So please help me also to do that. Now, who has a problem in Krishna Leela? Does any of those demons have a problem with anger? There's so many demons. There's Dhenukasura, there's Chinavarta. Which one is angry? Angry demon?
Keshi.
Keshi was angry. Mm-hmm. Who else? Who?
Bhaumasura.
Okay, yes, we're getting into Dwarka now.
Banasura.
I just took the Dwarka in the past.
Oh, okay, Bhaumasura. So what you can do, if you have a problem with anger...
Agasura,
yes, that big, big snake. Snakes are always angry. So what you can do, if you have a problem with anger, nighttime, before you go to sleep, you read the story of Agasura. Then morning when you wake up, then you pray to Krishna, please take this Agasura demon out of my heart. And especially if you chant, if you have some japa time, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, before you chant, then you say this prayer, please take this Agasura from my heart. Because not only the demons are there in Vrindavan, all the same demons are in our heart too, and Krishna has to kill them. And one of them is anger, one of them is mischief. What is? What is your favorite Krishna story? Krishna story. Whose favorite? Krishna's.
Krishna's favorite
story.
Yeah.
Oh, his mother used to tell Krishna's story when he would go to sleep at night. But one time, Krishna didn't want to go to sleep because he saw the moon. And he says, oh, it's butter. I want that butter. Give me that butter. And his mother said, no, no, this is some lady said, no, this is not butter. This is something else. This is, see, maybe butter is there, but there's little black spots. There's poison in the butter. So you can't eat that butter. So then he said, no, I want that butter. I want that butter. So then the mother told him the story when Krishna was laying in the bed trying to go to sleep. And Mother Yashoda told him one story. And she said to Krishna, one time the demons and the demigods, they decide to churn the ocean of milk. And so when they were churning the ocean like this, first came poison. So see, this milk ocean is not good. This moon came from that milk ocean. So therefore, if you try to have this moon, you will get poisoned. So Krishna said, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's interesting. I thought milk came from cows. He said, anyway, so he was pacified, and then he said, okay, I won't eat that. I will drink your milk instead, and I will take some other butter that you made from the cows. So he was happy then. He didn't ask for the moon anymore. That's one Krishna story. Yeah?
I have my friend is broken in the friendship with me. How I should make your friends?
Your friend has broken friendship with you. Yeah, that's a problem in this world. But if you become Krishna's friend, he'll never break that friendship with you. So then what devotees do when they have some problem with friends, and then they go to the friend and they say, please take this gift, I brought some present for you, and say, please forgive me, maybe I did something wrong, and please excuse me, please forgive me, I want to be your friend, like that. Any other questions? No? Okay, that's all right.
Can you tell the story of the churning of the ocean?
Churning of the ocean? Oh. Okay. So these demigods and demons, they were having a big fight. And the demons won, and they took over the heaven. They took all Indra's... Actually, all the demigods, they didn't even fight with them. They were afraid of the demons. So Indra took the form of a peacock, and he flew away, because he didn't want to fight with the demons. And Yamaraj took the form of a crow. And different ones took different forms of animals. And because Indra took the form of a peacock, that's why peacocks like Indra. And they like when they see the thundercloud, because they know Indra is there with the thunder. And Yamaraj likes the crows, because he took their shape. And so crows have a very long life. They cannot die unless somebody kills them. They don't die natural death. Unless somebody kills the crow, they won't die. Yeah, so this is Yamaraj's benediction. So all the demigods, they went away, and so they went to their guru, and the guru told them, okay, you make peace with the demons, and you tell them that, let's get some nectar. If we churn the ocean of milk, we'll get some nectar. So the demons thought, oh, this is a good idea. We'll take the nectar, and the demigods will do all the work. So yes, okay, we will help you churn the nectar. So there is one big, big snake, Vasuki, and he was there. He was like around the mountain. They wrapped Vasuki around Lekaro, yeah. And there's a big, big mountain, Mandara Hill. So then, but the hill was falling into the water. So they said, oh, we need something under the hill. So then Krishna came as Kurma. Kurma, this tortoise, yeah. And he went underneath the hill. And they put the hill on top of him, and he was churning. And he felt so good, because he had some itching on his back, and you know tortoise, they can't itch their own back. So the mountain was itching, was making him feel good, because it was itching, and so it was going like this, and this is nice, very nice. And also all his ornaments got polished too, when that was he was there. So then they were churning and churning, and the demons and the demigods, they couldn't do it. So Vishnu had to come and help. And he went, of course, on the demigod side. So then they started again, churning. First thing came out was some poison and smoke from the mouth of Vasuki, the snake. And the demons thought the head is the best place, so they got burnt. They were by the head of the snake. So they got burnt. The snake was the rope. One was the tail side and one was the head side of the rope. So they got the head side. All the demons were burnt. So then, and then they said, oh, we don't want this side. We'll take the tail. So then the demigods went up. No problem. We'll take the head. And so then they started churning. and so much poison came out from Vasuki and from the ocean. Poison, poison, poison. And they said, what to do? So then they went to Lord Shiva and said, can you please drink this poison for us? We don't know what to do with this poison. So Lord Shiva took in his hand this poison, drank the whole thing. But some snakes were and some spiders were there, and some drops fell, and they got the drops, so they became poison. The snakes and the scorpions and the spiders, they got some of that poison. So then, after that, nice things started to come out. The moon came out, a beautiful horse came out, a beautiful elephant came out, and the elephant went to Indra, the horse went to Bali Maharaj. Then Lakshmi came out, and she had a garland, and she wanted to marry somebody. But who does Lakshmi marry? Only one person.
Vishnu.
Yes, so she saw Vishnu, and she put the garland on him, and she married him. So after so many nice things came out, finally the nectar came out. Dhanvantari, he came with the nectar. And this nectar, if you drink it, then you have such a long life, like 10,000, 20,000, 1 million years you can live if you drink this nectar. So everybody wanted the nectar. So the demons got the nectar first. They just snatched it away from Dhanvantari and said, okay, we will enjoy this nectar. So then Vishnu came. He took the form of a beautiful woman, and he went to the demons. And the demons, as soon as they saw this beautiful Mohini, they said, they didn't quite think about the nectar. They just wanted Mohini. They said, oh, we want her for our wife. So then Mohini said, you give me the nectar, I'll settle it, all right. So they were so enchanted by Mohini, they said, yeah, if you take the nectar, and whatever you say, we will agree. So Mohini took the nectar. She put the demigods one side, the demons far, far away on another side. And she said to the demons, first she went to the demons and said, you are so intelligent, you are so nice. I will give the nectar first to the demigods and then I will give you. So she went to the demigods first and she gave him all the nectar. But there were two demons sitting disguised inside. You know who those two demons? Oh, there's one demon. One demon.
Rahu.
Yeah, so she cut off Rahu's head. And because he had drunk the nectar up to here, it hadn't gone down, then his head became immortal. Became a planet, the Rahu planet. And then the rest of him became Ketu. Ketu planet. So then, after that, there was again a huge fight between the demigods and the demons. But the demigods won because they drank the nectar. So you know what this nectar is. This is the Ayurvedic medicine. This is the nectar. I went to one class with an Ayurvedic doctor, and he told me that the poison is the allopathic medicine and the nectar is the Ayurvedic medicine. Because actually the allopathic, it's little pieces of poison, but it kills the germs, but then it kills other things too. And so sometimes it's good and sometimes you get the reaction from it. So Dhanvantari, he is in charge of the Ayurvedic medicine, and the nectar is what makes everybody well.
Yeah. And some of the things, like when you have these children, they come to the classes.
Yeah.
I encourage them to call their friends. Uh-huh. So it happens that when they want to go and share, many of the children feel that they want to go and share with their friends, but their friends don't appreciate them because of Krishna consciousness. I feel many of you may experience that too. Yeah,
the
friends don't appreciate them.
Can you please guide them? Well, actually, what Prabhupada did for not just the friends, the family, the everybody has this problem, and there's only one thing you can do, and that's the secret weapon, and that's prasadam. And the prasadam can be food, it can be flowers, it can be. You can offer anything. If you even like, if you want to give a present to your friend, even if it's like clothing or something, you can offer it to the deities first and give your friend. Then it's prasadam. Like even a ring or any jewelry or any clothes, you can offer it to Krishna first and then give it to them. So I brought this for you. It's very special. is a very... Prasadam is the only thing, actually, that, that it's like a secret weapon. And it can take many forms and shapes. Uh-huh. Oh, I don't remember, actually. I don't remember how he got three eyes. There is one story where how he got five heads. There was this beautiful girl, Tilottama, and she was going around the fire, and he had to have five heads to watch in all the directions to see her going around. That was one. Now, the three eyes, I don't know. But there is, the middle eye is fire. The middle eye is fire. Yeah, I don't know that story. I don't remember it. That we know, yes. So, yeah. Very good, thank you for that. Who said that? Yes. Yes, he burned. That was, so his third eye was useful for that. Because Kama was trying to make him fall down. So therefore, he burnt him. He burnt him. But we also have a third eye here, but it's not developed. You know that? When you do yoga practice, then this eye opens. But you won't see it. It won't look like an eye. It's just inside. It's inside. And then you can see, like, the demigods' planets. You can see so many things when this third eye opens here. You can see Indraloka, Brahmaloka, and I don't know about Krishnaloka. That you need more than that. For that, you need the heart. What to do?
To become a friend of Krishna.
To become a friend of Krishna. Okay. Like a cowherd boy, you mean? Or just friend like now? Like now. Okay. When you chant Hare Krishna, you call him, you think, oh, my dear friend, my dear friend, my dear friend. You think of him as a friend. And that's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is, if you have deities in your house, or look, so in the temple, then you can make friends with the deity in the temple, and you can bring him presents, and you can also talk to the deity and tell your mind what is your problems and everything, and he can give you advice. He can help you like that. So in that way, when you chant also, see, he's there in the heart. And if you're calling him, calling him, calling him, then he will answer you. He will be your friend. He can come in your dream. But he's just waiting for you to be his friend, actually. He's just waiting. And so we have to do something from our side.
And so one last thing. Yesterday in the girls' session, we shared that it helps the brain, the chanting the brain.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because many of them do the exams.
Yeah, the chanting will actually help you in your schoolwork and in your studies, because it helps you to focus and concentrate, and it cleans out all the extra garbage. So, I mean, yes, if you want to use it for material thing, you can also use it. It will make your mind much clearer and easy to concentrate and focus even on your studies. But then, when you do focus nicely on your studies, then you should say, thank you, Krishna, for helping me focus on my studies. I don't remember. I say things very spontaneously sometimes. But I'm just saying it helps the concentration and it cleans out the excess thoughts. It makes you able to focus and concentrate. Yeah. Okay, in the back. Okay, TV. Okay. So her question is, what's the disadvantage of watching TV? So the disadvantage is that when you watch the TV, your heart is just like a camera. So you're seeing what's there, but your heart is taking pictures and it's going in your TV in your heart. So whatever you see on the TV, it will go inside here. And then it's more garbage you have to throw out, actually. But so that's one problem, is that it will stay with you, it won't go away. And the next problem is, at the time of death, of course you're very young, you don't think about the time of death, but when you're ready to leave your body, Everything you ever saw and everything you ever did in your life, it will go in front of your eyes. Now, if you're attached to something that you see, like if you're watching the TV and you say, oh yes, I want that. Then next life, you'll become that. You'll become that kind of person at the time of death. Like I had one student. When she was young, she did something very, very bad. She killed one cat. This was in the West. In India, they don't do these things. This was a Western person. So then she had a near-death experience. She fell off her bicycle. She hit her head. She saw her whole life going in front. And it stopped right at that place where she killed the cat. So next life, she would be, if she had died that time, she would become a cat. Very bad. So if you're watching a movie and somebody's killing somebody or somebody's doing that, then you'll become in that movie in your next life. You won't be in the Goloka TV, you'll be in this TV. And that will happen to you, whatever you see. And if you're like, oh yes, then your attention goes there at time of death, then that's what happens, then you go there. You have to be very careful, because what you want to put in your TV, if that's what you want to put that TV in here, then you won't see the Goloka TV. And then you have to chant so much to get this TV out. Because it stays there very deeply. Okay, so now finish? Okay.